So we're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. We are in chapter 1. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, starting in verse 16. So the title of this morning's talk or this morning's message is called Called Out of Comfort. Called Out of Comfort. And I think that was definitely a theme I definitely saw the whole week. Just so many kids who grew up in the faith, they heard a lot about Jesus. But he definitely called students, leaders, even moms and dads who were present throughout the week to be called out of comfort. I'm kind of in camp mode a little bit. So if you're there, why don't you just raise your Bible up in the air? That's right. Ooh, look at all the cell phones. Like, this is like, what is a rock concert? I love it. All right. Here we go. Starting in verse 16. So as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." And at once they left their nets and they followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat. And they were also preparing their nets. Now without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they also followed him immediately. Now, immediately from there, they went to a place called Capernaum, and when the Sabbath day came, which would be a Saturday, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach, and the people were amazed. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of that day. And just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And then Jesus said extremely sternly, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were all, No, they didn't say that. They said the people were all amazed that they all began to ask each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority." So he even gives orders to impure spirits and even they obey him. So news began to spread about Jesus all over the region of Galilee. Now, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Peter and Andrew, the first two disciples to follow Jesus. And Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and she was extremely ill. And they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, he took her hand, he helped her up. Now the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Now that evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and those who had evil spirits in them. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many with various diseases. And he also drove out many, many impure spirits. But he would not let the impure spirits speak because they knew who he was. Now, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a quiet place, and he prayed. But Peter and the other disciples, the companions, they went to go look for Jesus, and they found him. And they began to say, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you because of the authority you have. Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and he was healing many, many people of impure spirits and also from many illnesses. That's amazing. I pray that that would not just be a story, but a historical account of who Jesus is and what he does. And what I find amazing about this, if I can just draw your attention to like an overarching theme in what we just read, is how many people are drawn to Jesus. So you see it, I want you to imagine, some random guy just comes up to you and says, "Come follow me." Like, Imagine you're at the metro station and then someone comes up to you and says, tag, you're it. And then you're like looking and then they just start running away and you have to like chase them. You wouldn't do that. You would never, ever, ever follow someone you don't know. It just doesn't happen. Even if there's a conversation that starts happening with someone you don't know, you already feel guarded. You don't want to be there. You're like, this is really, I want to figure out how to get out of this conversation. I don't know who you are. You're getting in my personal space right now. Like, you're bothering me. You ever like go to work and you're doing a task and then someone bumps into you for a conversation, but you're like on the way to do what your head is like in the zone for something. And then someone bumps into you, starts talking with you. And then you're just like, yeah, that's nice. Can you get out of the way, please? I need to go somewhere. And it happens all the time. You don't want to stop for people, even if you know them, because you're so fixated on something in the moment. And I find it interesting that even for these disciples, without delay, Jesus, who they don't really know much about, he says, come follow me. And without delay, they drop everything. And they go, okay, let's just do it. There was something about Jesus that just drew people to him. There was just something about him. And that you'll see it again and again and again in what we read. There's that word called authority. There was something about Jesus that just people were going, wow, this is so different. This is so amazing. There is something about this person that we just can't totally figure out, but we're just so drawn to him that we're willing to say, you know what? I'm going to literally drop everything I'm doing, including my own job, my own plans, my own what I'm trying to do in the moment, I'm putting all that aside because there's something about Jesus that just draws me to him. All of a sudden, with Jesus, even all of my priorities seem like nothing, and I'm just drawn to this person, Jesus. Another little tidbit. I call them Bible geek moments. That's just what I call them. If ever you study any other religion in the world, every time you encounter a miracle of some sort, the miracle itself is always there. It's either recorded or someone talks about a miracle. It always ends with a moral principle. All the time. It's always about, because this happened, now you can do this. The Bible is the only place you will never ever see that. Miracles are recorded not to teach us something we should do. They always point to who Jesus is. Always point to who Jesus is. So if you're ever reading in Scripture and you come across a miracle, don't start trying to highlight all these little things and try to find all these nuggets everywhere. You read the miracle, you read the account, you read the story, and then you say, what does this say about Jesus? What does this say about God? And then how can I respond to him in regards to this? Because the more and the more we can see and feel and get a sense of who Jesus is as a family or individually, I can promise that we begin to be drawn to him. There is something about Jesus. Another Bible geek moment. Just, I'm a total geek about this kind of stuff. I'm just going to throw it out, just as a show of hands. Who knows what the word Capernaum means? Yeah, that's what I thought. So total Bible geek moment right now. So, Joel, you think you know it? Nope. But it does start with a C, so you're almost there. You're almost there. I like it. You're like 2% there. Like, it's great. I love you, Joel. No, so Capernaum actually means comfort. It means the town of comfort, which I think is really interesting. Out of all the places Jesus goes to start his ministry, he goes to the town of comfort. And I almost wonder if that's almost like a backdrop of what's really going on. That there are so many people in this moment that as he's kind of going out and starting out his ministry, they've gotten so comfortable in how things just are. They're just so comfortable with that all the time. And it's so interesting that he goes into a synagogue, and I almost wonder what kind of routines they can possibly have. Because you see, here at South Shore Community Church, we have lots of things that are routine. For example, we have a wonderful little spirit-filled, spirit-led, without any room for moving, a little calendar of how today is going to work. Isn't that interesting? Look at that. I know exactly what's going to happen today. And then every person who's in charge or has some kind of, responsibility on a Sunday morning, they know what they have to be doing. So Frank, for example, Frank's responsibility is to ensure that all the ushers are going to get ready for different things. You'll see him at the door, and he's going to be welcoming you. We have ushers, and they are welcoming you at the door. We also have our communion today, which meant we had people who came in early, and they prepared the communion for today, and that was their responsibility, because we have a routine at South Shore Community Church. Every last Sunday of the month, we do communion. And if we do it any other time, that's a bad idea, apparently. We sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 worship songs. Now, some churches, it's three fast, two slow. We didn't do that this morning. I'm just reading the routine for this morning, by the way. When I did announcements and offering, when I came up here, I says here, talk about tithes and offerings and then pray. Talk about the Connect card. Say, please fill it out and take it to the Next Steps table in the back. It says here, talk about Bible bookmarks available for reading starting September 2nd, which I forgot to say starts September 2nd. All right. And then also say number 4. Say next week we're praying for students in this. Oh, there's also a special guest next week. Missionary Peter Oram and his wife, Mary Josée Thibault. It's a good thing we're going to reread this whole routine. All that takes place at exactly 10:59 a.m. You have to say this in exactly 8 minutes. Who does this? Pastor Matt. That's me. At 11:07, Matt, you have exactly 35 minutes to talk about your message. Okay. Right after we do that, we have a response to what I'm going to say. And you can't respond any other time outside of 11:42 a.m. And you only have 5 minutes to encounter Jesus. At 11:47 a.m., I have 2 minutes to say, join us for coffee afterwards. So comfortable with our routine. So comfortable with our routine. And sometimes we totally forget to question it. Now, structure is good. That's how you just kind of control like lots and lots of people in a room and move people from point A to point B. But this is what's happening. He's going to the town of All Comfort, and he starts preaching and teaching, and there's something about Jesus that just draws people to them. And they start saying, this is amazing. When was the last time you said those words coming to South Shore Community Church? Not because of the routine, because of Jesus. But you said, Jesus is amazing. I'm excited about Jesus now. Wow. That is what's starting to happen here. There is something about Jesus that draws people to him. I get the opportunity to work in the Kiss Church downstairs. This is the number one distraction of every single boy in this room here today. If you're a big boy, doesn't matter how old you are, you love this thing. If you're in grade 6, grade 5, grade 4, grade 3, grade 2, grade 1, kindergarten, pre-K, you love this thing. If you're Pastor Matt and you're 27, you love this thing. Now, women in the room, you're not going to fully get this, but men, what you feel when you see this thing That's what's drawing people to Jesus. So here we go. This is the number one distraction I have to stop every single boy, week in, week out, from trying to steal. It is a toy sword. I don't know what it is. Every week, I'm not going to call names, Anthony. So anyways, every week, I always see it's Anthony, it's Elias, and they always somehow get other boys around them. And they're like going to, you know, kids' church and stuff. And then all of a sudden, as they pass by the resource room with all the toys, this is hidden. It is locked up. It doesn't speak, but it speaks to them. They know it's in that room. And as they're walking, they can hear it. Play with me. And I can see it every single time. As they're walking, they get closer to the room. And then they're always like peeking in the room. They look. They peek even more in the room. They look. And then they go in the room. Every time. Every time. Now, I can promise you right now, Ronaldo wants this right now. I know you do, because I want it too. But I have it, and I'm not sharing. I know that there's an instinct within boys. We have two rules as boys. Number one, always treat women with value and dignity. But number two, anything that looks like a sword is a sword. That's right, Ronaldo. That is rule number two of being a man. It just happens. You see it. We go camping. We see a stick. Boom. It's a sword. It is not even a fishing pole. It's a sword. Every time. When they are shoveling our streets. Now, maybe this is like, I don't know. But when they're shoveling the streets and they put a big sign that says no parking. You know what I'm talking about? That big orange sign. Right? And they put them in all the place where there's no parking, right? As soon as those city workers leave that street, every boy in that neighborhood somehow leaves the home to grab every single one of those things because the paper means nothing. There is something behind it. There's a stick. And there's a stick that looks like a sword, and it's amazing for all the boys in the room. We love it. Recently, as a board, we went to Pastor Jay's house. They have three swords in their living room. We were all sitting down. I'm telling you, Pat Murphy, you're here because I'm going to call you out. Every man on the board, Mark Terrell, you're here too. I'm calling you out. Matt Brown, you're here. I'm calling myself out. We saw those swords. I don't know who saw it first, but all the women were on one side of the room, in the kitchen, talking, hanging out. All the guys, all the men became little boys to check out those swords. Now, we didn't have a big conversation about the swords. We were like, oh, wow, cool swords. But regardless, we just couldn't help ourselves. What was a samurai sword? It was a medieval sword. It was awesome. It was great. I don't remember what happened at that particular barbecue, but there was swords. It was great. That pull that we get for swords, we don't know what it is. But this thing says every time, come, come follow me. It's the same. It's like almost like a taste of what Jesus is and does. If you're writing down, taking notes, this is kind of like my big one-pointer. It is the person of Jesus Christ that draws us to know him more. It's not an argument about Jesus, not logic about Jesus or anything like that. It is the person of Jesus Christ that draws him to know him more. You know, one of the things Jesus was asked is, what's the most important thing to think about, to do, to follow? What's the most important command? Who here knows it? What's the most important command? Now, I know it's a two-parter. I only want the first part. That's right. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. It's gonna be on there. But yeah, and then you'll find that throughout the Gospels. But now, another Bible geek moment. Where is that found in the Bible? Not New Testament, Old Testament. Where is Jesus quoting from? And if you think you know it, you can raise your hand. Who thinks they know it? You think you... Exodus? You're close, actually. So it's in the book of Deuteronomy, which is part of the first five books of the Bible. And this is actually quoted for families. This is saying, hey, before you guys enter the promised land, families, listen up. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starts in verse 4. He says this, "Listen and obey Israel. You see, the Lord your God, he is one. Now I want you to love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Even tie them as symbols in some particular way. Create traditions in your home to be able to have these kinds of conversations with your children. Write these commands on the door frames of your house and on the gates." A lot of this is symbolism, but do you talk with your children about how exciting Jesus is around the dinner table? Do you process your own faith and what you're going through, like you lost your job or something? Do you process what Jesus is teaching and doing in you to your children? Your children are so starving to see your faith being processed. They're starving for it. They don't need Sunday school. They don't need sermons, Bible stories. They need all that stuff. But what they need most is that you live out and just saying, I want to love God with everything in me, and I can only do that if I'm called out of comfort, and if I'm drawn to Jesus by the person of Jesus Christ, and then I can start processing those experiences, those moments, those testimonies, when a Bible verse really speaks to me for a week during a day, or I'm listening to a worship song on the radio, and I'm like, man, that was a good word. That was a good chorus. And then you start telling your children around the dinner table, hey, I listened to this song, and Jesus really spoke to me. Children need that. They want it. The reason why this is happening is because, like I said, it is the person of Jesus, not the logic, not the teaching. It is the person of Jesus that draws us to know him more every time and every time. Because there is something more to Jesus than meets the eye. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says this about Jesus. The Son, which is Jesus, he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He sustains all things by his powerful word. And after he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. But did you catch that? That Jesus is the full radiance and the exact representation of God? That's what's drawing people to Jesus. He's not just a man, he's more than a man. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. You see, Jesus, he is the image, the exact image of the invisible God. Why is God invisible? He's not. You look to Jesus. He is the exact image. He is the image of the invisible God. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then ending with verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. And this is a big kind of a poem to describe Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But the Word was God as well. The Word, verse 14, the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. My prayer this morning is that Jesus would be more than just a good idea. Have you ever met people who say, I will believe in Jesus or be a Christian? And maybe there's some of you here. You would say this, I would believe if you give me a really good, solid argument, totally bulletproof, and then I'll believe. I'm going to resolve this issue right now. There is no argument. There is zero argument that will ever convince any person in this room to go all in for Jesus. The only irrefutable object that we have is the irrefutable man, the God-man of Jesus Christ. There is no argument that will draw any of us to know Jesus more. It is the person of Jesus that will draw us to know him more. So what I want you to do as we close, now I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. This is going to be a bit of a weird ending. What I'm going to ask you to do, I want you to start thinking, what is it that I find most exciting about Jesus? Because if you ever find those moments where you find like your Bible is boring, church is boring, following Jesus is boring, you're stagnant in your faith, you've got the routine, but you want more, but you don't know what to do, things have become extremely predictable, like this, like your whole Christian faith looks like this. At 11:42, 5 minutes, Matt, you have a song to do, response to the word. If your Christian faith is like this, the only thing that will get it out of that routine and this predictability, or those dry seasons when like reading your Bible and praying is really tough, and like meeting with other Christians is really tough and boring because you don't want to anymore. What's going to do it is you ask yourself that question, what is it about Jesus that I find most exciting? Because it's the person of Jesus that draws him and draws us to know him more. So think about that. So what we're going to do is we're going to close in prayer, and then the worship team, they will play and sing, but we'll be dismissed because I want you guys to head on downstairs for this, the coffee time, the hangout in the lobby or whatever. And I want you guys to start sharing about who Jesus is to you, like how exciting that is, what God has done for you this week. Because it's in those faith-filled moments that will inspire your faith. You'll see who Jesus is in other people, what he's doing in them. You get to share to other people around you what he's doing in you. And then everyone in the room, we start benefiting from that. We start seeing more clearly the person of Jesus, and then all the people in the room start being drawn more and more and more to him. And that's exciting. That is fantastic. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for how amazing you are. God, I thank you for your authority. I thank you that you are a person who draws us to you. I thank you that there is more to you than meets the eye. You're not just full of what to do, what not to do, but there is something amazing about you, that you draw us to you to know you more. Why? Because you can be known. And that is amazing. And that's why we did communion today, because it celebrates that reality, that you are a God who can be known, and that you've given us the opportunity to know you in a special way. And I pray for everyone here, God, if there's people here who have a hard time answering the question, how has Jesus been exciting this week, today, in my life? God, I pray that their faith would be filled as they listen and learn and hear all that you do, but also who you are. So God, I pray a blessing over every person in the room. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.